You're listening to The Cat Business Show, and I'm Kat. In today's show, I spend some time with Colin Jeffrey, owner of regional lifestyle publication Iceni magazine. In a previous life, Colin played his part with the publishing giants Condé Nast and IPC, working on titles such as GQ, Easy Living and Glamour. So, Colin, welcome to the show.
Welcome, hello.
Nice to meet you at last. We've been working for a while together, actually, but we've not actually met face to face, so it's lovely to finally put your face to the voice.
Nice to meet you too.
Great. Now, you run a regional magazine, Iceni magazine, and it's been very successful in the 4 years or so that you've been running it. And it's something that you started yourself, which is incredible. Let's start with how difficult was it to actually get something like that off the ground?
The biggest challenges we had was having nothing to start up with. It was just me and my business partner at the time, starting from scratch. I designed the website myself off a cheap template, if that shows you what the budget we had. So it's new challenges, never done website design before. Social media, I sort of posted some updates, but never in a business capacity. And it was just getting word out there, and that was the challenges we had. We had nothing.
And had to start from nothing and then build it up. What an incredible thing you've done, because it's now a really successful regional magazine in Norfolk, and you get lots of people now coming to you, don't you, with stories of, you know, to submit from PR companies, when before I suppose you probably had to go and search for content. Has that changed?
Yes, that's changed a lot. We obviously, when we set up the website, we had a submissions email. A lot of the stuff, or majority of the stuff, is submitted now, articles. We don't have to go searching for it, whereas I wasn't in the days of writing stuff sent in through the mail. Everything we receive now is via email. It can be from the smallest garage sale up to big corporate days, and right across the country. It's not just Norfolk we receive information from.
Brilliant. So a lot of the word then has gone out beyond just this Norfolk region to, you know, places obviously around the country. Is that because they've been involved in other businesses maybe that you've done stories for and they've got to know of you that way? Or have you done a proper sort of like a campaign to find them?
I haven't done a proper campaign. It's just a matter of you just whatever comes in, you put on. Then I think in the background somewhere, like all these things, there must be a list you get put on saying, oh, I've had this in this article published, maybe you want to have a little try. Because sometimes I get people say, oh, you deal with my client, my colleague, people move around, and so the word just spreads. It's almost like as if there's an invisible mailing list that, oh, there's this publishing company that's doing stuff for us, get your name on there.
Yeah, well, in a way there is, because when you work in PR like I do, there are lists that journalists get, so PR companies get of journalists, and they contact them. So no doubt you've been added to some of those now, and now you've become established, which is wonderful. But of course, now you're probably getting content that you maybe don't want to publish, and stuff that actually doesn't fit with your readership. How do you decide when that all comes through your inbox? No doubt you get bombarded with lots of stuff. How do you decide which to publish and which not to?
As we're in Norfolk based, I do get a lot of stuff up from London, various restaurants, so that stuff sort of has to take the back burner, purely because of we try and stick to our roots, what we are about, and that's Norfolk, predominantly Norwich. So we just have to see, and it's also the content, how it's applied. We haven't got time to sit down, sift through stuff that's poorly written, images that you've got to request, because if 9 times out of 10 it's something that's got to be published the next couple of days because of the event so close. The time you email a couple of PR companies, they can say, oh, we need to speak to such and such, they're off on holiday. And it's just like, we're just chasing the tail.
Yes.
Whereas it's nice if someone says, here's a Dropbox link, or do you have Dropbox? Yes. It's like a local theatre. They said, we've got a Dropbox, we'll add you to it. And every time they send us something, see Dropbox for the image. And it's higher res, and we can just, away we go. We don't have to wait for someone at a library at the other end to look for a picture.
Yeah, it must be really frustrating, actually. I can imagine the standard of content being very different from possibly some things being very poor to some excellent content. when you're receiving the you know, releases, press releases or whatever from PR companies, what kind of standard generally are they? Are they very good?
Some of them are very good. We do get ones that go in nicely. There's links, there's titles. But because stuff's moving online now, we've got to bear in mind that everyone gets these. So it's how can we tweak it a little bit because of the SEO, keywords, if they're going to be used before, someone else is going to get ranked for it. That's how we determine what copy we are going to put on there. Has this been sent to every other publishing house? Who's going to get it online before us? So it's just it's pretty much a speed game. Can we get this content onto our website with minimum amount of fuss? Because we are effectively not getting anything, no money from the articles. It's just hits which convert to pennies for us if companies approach us.
Yeah, sure, I can see that. So really what you need then is great content that is firstly well written.
There's even basic things like a title, a subtitle, your body, and then contact details, because 9 times out of 10 people to say, oh, that's fine, I'm sure you're just going to go and look for, oh, they're on Twitter. Well, where are they? Because it's okay if the company's got like a logical name, but if you've got a business _123, and it takes us, and that's all time, whereas we can think, oh, we'll just move on to the next article, we can find someone who's has supplied something that can be opened in Word, copy, paste straight into WordPress.
So the quickest way that you can do it then, the better for you. So really, if a PR is, or a company, or a small business who's writing their own information for you, is supplying something, the first thing is to give it in a good format that you can easily copy paste into a digital content file.
That's correct. We do have PDFs supplied, but PDFs, unless you've got like a pro version where you can edit them, it's just a nightmare. So try and stick with a Word document. I know it's basic, and or even simple as embed it in the email. So you don't even need to open Word. If you embed it in there, you've got a title, you've got a subheading, you've got the body, and most importantly, contact details and an image.
Yes, absolutely. Well, you see the images, though, you know, you said something important there in terms of actually, first of all, supplying something, because image paints 1,000 words, doesn't it? So images are really important, especially for online as well, aren't they? Because it brings it to life.
Yeah, especially online, because the way our website works, we've got a header image, which will go at the top. And then that's another thing, time consuming. If someone doesn't send an article and we have to go and look in our library for it, it's still finding something relevant. It might not be appropriate to that article. People may get offended. You've got to think at the third person. Say if I put this on, then it's, and people say, well, this has got nothing to do with the article as such. So it's better if we've got an image supplied, rather than us having to look around, or a stock image, which could take us 20, 30 minutes, which is, if you're doing 30, 40 times a day, that soon mounts up.
Crikey, wouldn't it really? And then, of course, that's slowing the whole thing down. That makes it difficult for you to put online. And then, presumably, the business is likely to maybe not get their words published because it's just not in a good format.
Yeah, that's great, because it's all about speed.
Mm.
Even if it is a mass-produced article, if we can get it online and then shared on our social channels, it's out there, so we can grab capture the audience before someone else who may have to go through a certain channel to have it put online. So that's the joy of being a small business. I'm the one that puts it on there, so it comes to me, I put it on there. I haven't got someone sitting there waiting to say, can you put this online, and then you've got a long list to work through.
Yeah, nice and responsive, aren't you?
Yeah.
When we were talking there just a few minutes about the content in terms of words, you were saying some interesting things there about online being about making sure it's SEO ready, and presumably then when you're actually producing a story for submission to a magazine, you want to have that in mind. What kind of writing would be different for SEO than it would be if it was in a published format?
It's about length. If you try and keep it roughly 400 or 500 words ish, if you can, if it's a longer article, you can go up to 1,000 words, but you do have to bear in mind people are reading it online, they get distracted, get a bit bored. It's okay if it's a review and someone's interested in it, but if it's just a local event and you start bumbling about what, how many happened, how many years you've been going, you just want to get short, sharp, to the point, preferably over 300 words, because anything below that doesn't rank well.
Right.
So if you, about 400 or 500 words is a nice length, we find. We tend to find if it's a bit longer, the bounce rate, people just hops off before they've even reached the end.
Right, because they just lose heart halfway through, it's just not providing enough information.
Or there's too much, and it's you just want to try and 400 to 500 words, but to the point.
Right.
No bumbling on.
Right.
You just want to be quick, to the point, so people can. Because people skim read, they don't sort of look. They don't want to read articles, because if they did, they'll just grab a paper or.
Yeah. And it's all different now, isn't it? When online has made it, made the consumption of news, of media, of stories, it's very fast, isn't it? So people have only got a few seconds to decide, am I going to read this or am I just going to move on? So I can see exactly what you're saying there. And I guess the heading and the title is also important for that, both in terms of ranking and also getting attention.
Yeah, the heading is that's the main thing they see. That's what you get. It gets ranked for. Pretty much makes up the URL. It's something captive. You don't want to. You want to try and get what the article is about in them first 10-15 words ish, less if you can, because then that entices people in. If you've got a heading that they want to read, people go, oh, what's that? And they will be ready. Whereas if you're saying about you start it off about what the event is about, or we bumble on, right, it just needs to be short, sharp, to the point.
So good writing, some good concise information in there, writing in a non-flowery way, making sure that it has all the facts to start with at the beginning of the sentences.
To the point, so people can, because there is so much digital noise out there, you want to be above that noise, so they can say, oh yeah, there's an event, blah, 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 oh, I'm interested in that. It's just because these people could be just doing a random search, say Norfolk events, so you're going to want yours to be up there. I'll read that one on that site, rather than them hopping off and going elsewhere.
And so going elsewhere. Yeah, it's really interesting, isn't it, that actually now everything's happening online, isn't it, rather than offline. Now, when iCNE started, you actually did publish a hard copy of the magazine, didn't you, as well?
Yeah, we did start as a hard copy. And then once things moved along, we were finding that by the time the magazine goes to print, the time it comes back, we got it distributed, a lot of the stuff, we were a monthly magazine, so anything before like the 14th, 15th of the month was out of date before it even hit the ground, or if we had distribution issues, something wrong with the printers, people would say, oh, this event is in here, but it's gone.
Yeah, sure.
And so it was just a wasted content.
Yes.
And then if we had any errors, anything wrong, someone says, oh, well, I've supplied you that wrong, but the date has changed, we would have to pay for a new place if we could. At the time, if it'd gone past that process, it'd already been packaged up and coming back to us, there's nothing we could do about it.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, in the olden days, should we say, of publishing, and I know that your background is at Condé Nast and IPC, and you've worked on some great titles. You were mentioning, was it GQ magazine that you had been working on before? In those days, it was all litho printing and big numbers, wasn't it, for publications and nice hard copies. As time's moved on with the industry, though, it's really moved to smaller circulations, hasn't it? Which I guess is why things have moved online. And you were saying there that if you had to change something, then you've got a big cost involved. So the benefits now presumably outweigh the disadvantages of being online and instead of offline content.
It has its pros and cons. You still get people that, when marketing companies, and they like the touchy-feely, something shiny in their hands. I suppose if you can compare it to if you bought something online, it's the anticipation of what's it going to be like. Whereas if you go to your local shop and you were to pick up the same product, you've got it there and then. It's just like the feel-good factor. Oh, I've got it. Whereas the anticipation of coming in the post. So they like to see the quality and the touchy and feely But the then the consumer is, they're just on about the speed. They just want to see things, that, and they don't want the clutter. You also got to think about your carbon footprint. Is you got if we've producing 12 magazines, if we're producing 12 magazines and you happen to read 10, that soon mounts up that you've got papers that you buy weekly, monthly, so that all adds up, and that's always going to end up in a landfill somewhere.
Somewhere, isn't it? That's very true, which isn't great, is it? I mean, I suppose all the good thing about a hard copy, though, would be that maybe the life of the article may live on a little bit longer because it may end up in a doctor's surgery or something. Yeah. But, you know, that's only one small benefit, isn't it, compared to the massive online benefit that you've described there.
Yeah, you could say the same thing for digital. It's still online, the magazine's still on site, so it still has got some the coverage. We put all our back issues online, so someone can go back all the way back to our trial 12 page magazine online, but it's just there, whereas, as you say, you're correct, advertisers, their advert's still floating around, whether it's in a doctor's surgery or it's in a hairdresser's or something.
Yeah, but it may be out of date, which is exactly what you're saying. Yeah. The beauty of online is it's quick, it's fast, it's always current, it's always on, you know, it's on the moment, isn't it? Which is interesting. But I like the idea that you're saying there, that actually, if it is online, it never goes away, does it? Everything we put up online stays forever, doesn't it? So it's the gift that keeps on giving, in a way.
Unless you decide to have it erased, but it's not stuff. There's nothing in our magazine that we'd want to get rid of. That's why we just leave them bumbling. It doesn't take up any more space. So it's a lot easier for us. Storage online. We have got back issues up until the beginning of the year, but even that, you still got to have a shelf of like 40 odd magazines.
Yes.
Whereas online, you can have an infinite amount, and it's always with you as well. If you just, someone says, oh, I've seen something. Oh, there you go. You can send them a link. If they just want to read just that page, they can read just that page. They don't have to thumb through the whole magazine to find what they want.
Yeah, absolutely, which is great. And also, it's always working for you, isn't it? As you say, for search engines, it could always come up later in a search for your business, and therefore it's presented, if it's written in a good way, like you were saying before, it's always going to be there to be found, isn't it?
Yeah, because the more generic article, the event stuff we put in the magazine, they just come out, they get published on the digital magazine, and then they just bumble along or disappear. The more generic ones that we have written for us, they get put on the website, so we can either link to our magazine or we can link to the website and push them through our social channels. So like our social media articles we put on the website and they get pushed out. So someone may say, that may pop up and says, oh, how do I use Twitter for my small business? And then that will link back to our website, hopefully, and we can gain some hits and coverage that way.
Yeah, it all works together, doesn't it, now? You've got your online content for the magazine, but I do know that you're great in the social media sphere as well, and you actually promote actively every story that you, in fact, publish, don't you?
Yeah, we do push it out. Because what it's about nowadays is just clicks on the website, which means more analytics for us to go to advertisers and say, look, you need to be on this. This is what the hits we're getting. It's all about hits.
Yes.
Whereas before, it used to be about readership. When the magazine was printed, we'd say, how many people are you distributing? How many magazines are people are seeing it? And now it's all about the hits, and how many hits your website's getting. The more hits to us is basically just liquid gold. We can just say, people, this is what we're getting, you need to be on here.
Yeah, which comes back down to the stories that the businesses are submitting to you, either through their PR companies or directly, about having a really good story that's going to be really of interest for you, something that's well written, and that's going to help with SEO for the business and for Iceni magazine, or the publisher they're sending it to, and then making sure that it is of interest to the public, because then they're going to want to go and read
that's
it, aren't they?
Yeah.
Yeah, so it's actually, if you get those elements right, they're going to be successful, aren't they? So how hard is it to actually do the social media on the back of it? Is that something that you automatically do, or do you think that the businesses should be engaging a little bit more in that? Do people retweet you, for example?
Yeah, our social media to sort of like goes through the roof. We don't believe in, or we try not to automate anything. We never have. It's me that's at the other end. I feel that there's not much point putting the content out there if you're not going to get a response. Because someone could say, because you could put a tweet out saying about this article, and they say, "Well, I don't believe in that," or that's not right. Mm. And you say, "Well, what is your opinion then?"
Yes.
We've had one recently when the top 50 restaurants in the UK come out, and people say, "There's none from Norfolk," and then you can get in an engagement saying, "Well, what are your opinions? What's your outlook? What do you think?" And so you sort of like turning a negative into a positive, and because it's faceless, and you've just got to always be there to try and counteract it. That's pretty much what our social media is. You've got to be there to counteract negativity, because otherwise people just unfollow you because there's no human interaction.
Yeah, it's all about that engagement, isn't it?
Yeah.
Really, it's not just about pushing out your story. It's then about, as you say, providing other information, or if somebody says something, coming back and engaging in a conversation.
I think a lot of problem what people see is, whether they're big businesses, small businesses, one man bands, is they shouldn't see their social media as an extension of their sales team. It's just engagement. Yes, you are trying to sell yourself, you're trying to market yourself, you're trying to PR yourself, but the more you pump out sales talk, people ain't interested.
No.
You just got to be, the way to do it is to be a brand, be a human. Send, even if it's like, "Oh, morning everyone," and people say, "Oh, what's everyone up to today?"
Yes.
And then that gets the ball rolling. "Oh, you going to this? Oh, where are you going?" And so there is a human element, that there is someone at the other end, and it's not a robot that's just pinging out the tweet at half eight in the morning.
And
try and keep your tweets relevant. There's not much point saying, "Oh, it's a nice sunny day," and then you look out the window and it's falling down the rain.
No,
you've always got to be a bit conscious of. You've got to be a bit conscious of where you could. The way I play it is that, in my part of the world, our part of the world, it's nice. How about yours?
Yes.
And it's and it just gets your brand. You they retweet, they like it, and so you become in their timeline. People, "Oh, who's this then?" And then you pick up followers along the way.
And it's worked really well for you, hasn't it? And also for the businesses who are involved with your magazine, because you actually have extended it to like some social networking events, haven't you? So tell me a little bit about that, because I think it's a great model that anybody anywhere in the country could be doing, and no doubt some people are. But you've got tweet up events, haven't you?
Yeah, we're on the tweet up, which is every third Thursday of the month, in various locations in Norwich, and it's for anyone really, anyone who wants to network. There is no hierarchy about who can come along. It's free. All we ask for is a packet of biscuits or coffee.
Yeah.
There is a reason behind it. We do support the Big C at Norfolk and Norwich University Hospital. They go to there, so if people are being diagnosed with cancer, they are getting coffee, tea, biscuits. And it's anyone can attend. There is no agenda. My co-host, she says a little bit at the beginning, and then it's just a free-for-all, pretty much.
Nice networking.
Nice network, friendly. You can, and it's open to anyone, so we do have newbies that turn up, and they're a little bit shy, and so we just sort of take them under our wing, show them the ropes, and by the end of it, they're waltzing around talking to people.
This is great, isn't it? Because it actually puts faces to the anonymous face of social media, doesn't it? Suddenly you can
It's an extension to, as you say, our social media presence is. We do host a networking event Monday, Wednesday and a Friday, Norfolk Hour, from 8:30 p.m. And that's an extension. So we get a lot of our contacts and clients come from the Norfolk Hour. So we talk to them on social media. And then all we see is a logo or a picture or something someone's knocked up. And it just takes it to the next level. You are meeting face-to-face. You're having a coffee and a chat. And it's not like you're not walking into a room and you're like, "Oh, I don't know anyone." Because you do, because you've spoken to them online, and it's just taking that to that next step.
Yeah, it's funny, isn't it, the online sort of persona, because it does feel like you know people even though you've not actually met them.
Yeah.
So that online relationship is still a proper relationship, isn't it, despite the fact that it is in a virtual environment. So translating that into a real environment where people can actually network is probably very powerful.
Yeah, it's just getting across, it's getting, going beyond the logo.
Yes.
So we do have people that attend the tweet up and say, everyone wants to wear their logo. Because you can, yes. People, and then, because when you, they say, they don't approach you, I'm one for it. I'm always people say, oh, you're blah blah, or I'm terrible for using the at names.
Yes.
So it'll be like, oh, you're at such, yes, and such. And, oh, yeah, I do have a, they say, I do have a real name.
Yes, I'm not like, just at Captain, okay, Brown. And, yeah.
So it's just, that it's just an extension of what goes online. And there are even some people now, when I started the magazine, I've never met them face to face. They're in other parts of the country.
Yes.
And it's just a way of tying up, yeah, once a month to.
That's great. It's very different now, though, isn't it, to how publishing used to be? And, you know, referred there to your history in the publishing world. In terms of, I mean, that's a few years ago now, so no doubt there's been a few changes from those early days in publishing to where you are now. In terms of how do you see that? Has there been a lot of changes? I mean, what were the main things that have changed?
There was a lot of changes. Certainly, the biggest one was sort of like the internet. Broadband is another one, because we used to work on dial-up. I can remember when we had to phone up the printer and say, I'm sending a file, can you switch a line over? So they'd have to switch the ISDN line over. And it's all changing. It's just, as I said earlier, it's the speed of the information is something can. Whereas before you'd have to wait for something to come on the news to be printed. Now if there's something going on, worst case scenario, there's a disaster somewhere, it's instant. You can, yeah, get the word out there. And whereas before people say, oh, I've got someone that's gone there, and that's the way it's changing. You don't have to wait for anything anymore.
Yeah.
And I don't know whether that's a good thing or a bad thing.
I don't know.
It does make people impatient.
Yes.
Back to when you're saying supplying information, people think, oh, I've sent an email. Have you got it? Yeah. Oh, it's not online yet. There is a queue.
Yes, I suppose that's also what that it breeds, doesn't it? All these businesses and PR agencies are going, well, hold on a second, you've not put it up. Well, first of all, you may not want to put it up because it may not be a good story, it may not be relevant to your audience. But also, it's not going to happen instantly because you're engaged in running a business as well, aren't,
yeah,
you?
And so that's the other challenge. It's just balancing getting stuff online. And that's the one biggest problem with running a small business is you don't actually, it's not actually running a business, it's just damage control, you just, yeah, limitations. It's, you're just thinking, right, if I do this, what's going to happen? If I do that, what's going to happen? And if I sit there and I will look after my social media all day, no emails get done. If I do my emails,
it's a balancing act, isn't,
yeah,
it?
Yeah, it's just like multiple, you're just putting on invisible hats
all the time.
It's time management.
Yeah.
Is the biggest thing.
Well, it's been really interesting talking to you, Colin. Thank you very much for your time. Now, if somebody wants to go and see your magazine online, where do they go?
It goes to our website. That's iseniormagazine.co.uk. We have a tab for the most recent copy, mm-hmm, which will go take you straight to that. Or we have another tab on the front homepage, which will take you to the back issues. Or you can find us online. Just as easy as at iseniormagazine, all across all the channels.
And there you are on social media, and you're happy to engage, as you've just said, and also happy to receive information from businesses about what's going on in their world. You won't promise publishing it, but you'll certainly have a look.
Have a look.
Thank you very much, Colin. It's been a pleasure talking to you, and no doubt we'll have a chat again soon.
And you. Thank you for having me.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks for listening to this episode of The Cat Business Show. For more information about me, my business school, and to listen to past shows, please visit cat.uk.com. Bye for now.